Howdy, folks, and welcome to the January 31st edition of Dead Pit Radio. I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
Hootie hoo!
I'm the B-Plan.
The B-Plan's back in the house, okay? So all you biatches better raise the roof and take your shirt off and twist it around your head, swing it like a helicopter.
So, holler.
Yeah.
What's your holler?
I had a little bit of a break for a couple of weeks. I've been, I got so bad off I couldn't hardly talk at one point. You couldn't hear my sweet melodic southern twang.
Yeah, but his fingers still worked on Facebook with his vile spewing of expletives.
Look, okay, there's a few things that's happened recently, and we can talk about some of these. But one thing that pisses me off, and I just got to say, because there are people out there that are fucking, in my opinion, like if you can't appreciate a movie like Mad Men for what it is, you're a dumbass. you're stupid. Okay, there are people that are trying to tell me that Prison is a better movie than Mad Men.
Wow.
Are you, how? How the fuck? Like, you know, because I was talking shit about, and I was just using these movies as an example because, you know, to me, they're shitty movies. Like Dog Soldiers is one and Prison. To me, especially Prison, those movies don't deserve a collector's edition from Scream Factory. Like, they're not very good movies. And Dog Soldiers already had a fucking Blu-ray release. So,
it did?
Yeah. It was like I can't remember who released it, but it was kind of a cheap release. So, second Blu-ray release for fucking Dog Soldiers, and Mad Men is yet to have a Blu-ray release. Probably will never have a Blu-ray release if it's up to Code Red DVD.
Nah, probably not anymore. I mean, Blu-ray, I think Blu-ray's different. I don't know. Isn't it different? Like, VHS rights are different than...
I guess.
I don't know.
But, I mean, you got people on there. Now, I was just fucking getting pissed off because, you know, anytime I talk, and I wasn't even bringing Mad Men into it, but anytime I talk about a movie that's shitty, like Prison, which don't you agree that movie's shitty?
I only seen it once, and it's one of those movies where I don't even remember seeing it. Maybe I saw it in a video store, but it never made an impression. It's got some kind of neat special effects at some point, but yeah, it's not like something great or anything.
Yeah, it's like something that you can fall asleep to pretty easily. It's boring. It's a shitty film.
Well, it's definitely something I wouldn't want to invest in a Blu-ray for.
Right. I mean, and the thing is, and I'm sure, you know, people, you're a total hipster if you fucking, like, somebody's trying to say I was a hipster. That's a hipster movie, Mad Men. How? It's just a fucking good movie.
Like, well, I don't know if I would call it good.
It's entertaining. Okay. To me,
if you're using that as a good, then yeah, it's good. But I mean, it's just it's a fun movie to watch.
Yeah, to me, a hipster movie is some art house piece of shit that sucks. That's like, you know, I mean, I wouldn't even call Prison a hipster movie, but
no, I wouldn't either.
I'd call like, I don't know, Frankenstein's Bloody Nightmare. You remember that piece of shit we talked about?
I remember you talking about, but yeah.
There was another one that guy did. I mean, just a lot of. You know,
what about that? Lucifer Valentine is what is this movie? Hipster movies?
I don't know. I think his movies are just fucking. They're just messed up.
Gross. I don't vomit. It shouldn't be included in any movies.
Yeah, especially real vomit.
Yeah,
I think though, like, you know, people that think that they're the next David Lynch or something like that. To me, that's hipster shit. You know, if you got all visual, like, I don't know, somebody describes their movie, oh, it's a visual orgasm of amazing imagery and
what about Beyond the Black Rainbow? What'd you think about that?
Yeah, now that's kind of a hipster.
I wanted to like it, but I just couldn't. There was just the tone of it, you know, kind of just went from here to there. I mean, but it was just slow because it wanted to be that kind of movie. You wanted to do like a 70s kind of 2001 kind of combo kind of feel movie, and it's I mean, it just didn't work for me, but I think that would be more, I think that would kind of come into the hipster category.
Right.
Because people are like, oh, you got to see, I saw it on this full, big screen, man, it blew me away.
So, I pretty much decided, you know, I want to start getting some tattoos, Steve.
Why?
Because it's just time. I need a, there's a change.
It was Vader time, I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, and Madman, the Madman poster art is going to be one of the tattoos I'm going to get.
Just you're going to get the cartoon people on the bottom of it?
I'll probably leave that out.
But I will have the poster, dude. You should have that. That's the rare tattoo.
I will have the silhouette of the Madman, probably on my leg. I think that'd be a good spot to.
You're
going to
have Lore of the Campfire. You're going to have that tattoo on your calf.
What do you think? Put the Madman silhouette and then the Madman logo above it, or just Madman silhouette?
I don't know. I think the Madman silhouette would probably look better because unless I don't know, dude, you're going to get all tatted up now like a Jersey Shore or douchebag.
Why not? Steve.
Well, that's kind of hipsterish if you ask me.
No, it'd be hipsterish if you got, like, you know, all these young little skinny kids get, like, tattoos all over their arms and hands and neck and shit. I'm not going to do that. Looks like somebody shit all over their fucking arms.
Oh, this looks like young dudes around 23 years old in the gym that's got their tattooed all the way up on their chest, their arms.
Yeah.
The only place, maybe one leg. And it's like, really? You're going to regret this in about 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, the only way, like, I would ever do something like that is if I was, like, locked up in prison or something. Like, and I was never going to get out. I would probably want to look as mean as fucking possible, so I'd get, like, tattoos all over me.
You'd be in the Aryan Nation, wouldn't you?
Look, hey, motherfucker. No, I'd be you, Steve. You're a skinhead already anyway, and we don't even want to get into that.
Yeah, I'm a big skinhead.
So, anyway, we got a lot of news to get to on this show, and Steve has a little list for us. Since we're in the dead of winter right now, I think this morning it was like 6 degrees when I left work for work. Fucking cold out. We're going to be talking about, a little bit later on, winter horrors. You know, some horror films that's set in the cold. The dead of winter. So, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Also, Steve, I wanted to, before we go into the news, I wanted to say you're welcome. Because I added 10 more films from the Voodoo Disc to Digital. So now you can enjoy such classic films in high definition as The Boy Who Could Fly, Cheats and Chong's Up in Smoke,
Whoa.
And Sling Blade, among others.
Some people call it Kaiser Blade.
I call it a Sling Blade. Mm-hmm.
All right.
I like mustard on my biscuits.
My fresh fried potatoes.
Yeah. Mustard on them, too.
Yeah.
So, you're welcome, Steve.
Well, yeah. As always, thank you. And thank you for your great Christmas gifts. I look forward to watching them someday.
Yeah. Actually, there was one movie that I borrowed off my buddy to do a disc to digital that I've seen, but it's been years ago, and I want to see it again. It is a movie called Trapped with Kevin Bacon, Charlize Theron, and all that.
Courtney Love.
Courtney Love. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
Be looking forward to checking that one out as well. And, Disc to digital's pretty nice, Steve. I got around 450 films on Vudu.
Yeah.
So
450 films, yeah.
Yeah. And you do as well.
Yeah.
For now, at least.
Well, I have four, I mean, you have 450?
Yeah.
I have 451. Because I bought Mad Men.
Yeah, but there's some of the wrestling ones that you don't have on yours, remember?
Well, there's a couple of them where I press and it doesn't let me play them. It just says you have to buy it. And I was like, what the fuck's this about?
Yeah, that's true. Well, I was trying to get you to fucking give me your ultraviolet info and I could just combine our collection and
we did. I thought, oh, we have.
No, we didn't. You never gave me the right info, you motherfucker.
Well, I can't figure it out.
Oh, shit. Wouldn't take you long. All you got to do is go on the ultraviolet site, and you could figure it out.
All right. I will do that for you.
All right, Bubsy. Anyway, let's get into the news. A lot of stuff to talk about this week, actually. I was just looking around. A&E, they've unveiled the new synopsis for the second season of Bates Motel, which I'm a big fan of, Steve. I don't know if you are.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the better shows out there.
Yeah. They're going to premiere on March the 3rd.
Yep.
The premise is Norman is fixating on Mrs. Watson's death while Norma, her mysterious past, starts to haunt the family with an introduction of her brother. Meanwhile, Norman's brother, Dylan, gets more entrenched in the familial drug war that fuels the White Pine Bay. That's fucking... Try saying that five times.
White Pine Bay.
Let me tell you this. We're going to White Pine Bay. This Saturday night. White Pine Civic Center. Let me tell you this, Tony Blanchett.
And the Jezebel, baby doll.
And that damn Jezebel, damn it. Jezebel. White Pain Bay is never going to be the same, baby. So anyway, finds himself right in the middle of danger is Bradley, I guess it's his girlfriend, who remains in the hunt to uncover her father's killer, is driven to precarious extremes. Sheriff Romero is caught up on all fronts and everything in the town escalates, and Emma complicates her relationship with Norman as the duo explore new love interests, bringing new and old characters along for the ride. We'll have to see how that goes. I enjoyed the Bates Motel, though. I thought that was a pretty good show. I'll tell you another show, though, Steve, that you're a part of that I'm getting really into right now.
Oh, you better shut your face.
Hank.
Yank my Hank, all right?
Do you not like the show? Have you never watched the show, Steve?
Yes, I'm in the second season, and I think the first or second episode.
Oh, so you've never seen the show before that, though?
Not until I started watching it off and on for the last couple of months. It took me a while to get the first season done.
Let me tell you something. Once you get towards the end of the second season on, you'll not be able to quit watching that shit. I watch two or three episodes a day.
I'm like a lot of people. I'm not sure if I need to keep my cable.
Well, to be honest,
kind of like
right now, what I'm doing, I actually cut my Netflix off, my streaming Netflix, because WWE Network's coming, Steve.
Yeah, it is. It's coming big time.
And, I'm preparing for that, and I'm getting more and more stuff on Vudu. So if I want to watch a movie or something, I want to watch something on there. I mean, I've got fucking, you know, I'm thinking probably by the summertime I want to have close to 1,000 movies on there. So
you're looking to double your current inventory of movies.
That's right. And I'll give you a little bit of a heads up the way I'm doing that. See, the disc to digital on movies that I really want. I got some of the Netflix discs coming in. I'm getting average about 6 a week. So I'm converting those for a month for free, and then I'm going around from friend to friend, bringing my laptop. If there's a movie I'm wanting, hell yeah, let's do it.
Friend to friend.
Yeah. Thank you for being friends. So anyway.
Wow.
Enough about me, Steve.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, we can get lost within your... You know, personal life and
lost in my
your crazy,
eyes.
Your annex.
Yeah. I'll just give people a heads up, you know, and the thing is with movies, if you don't have the space for this shit anymore, you know, the digital way is the only way to go. I mean, I'll still buy some discs every once in a while, like, some of the Screen Factory stuff. But when it comes to, you know, new releases or something like that, I'm just going to get it on Vudu. Speaking of Scream Factory, though, Dog Soldiers, which we talked about a little earlier, They recently released their artwork. It's like, I don't know, what is it, sixth or seventh Nathan Thomas Milner artwork?
Nathan Thomas Milner!
I think actually probably more than that.
Yeah.
The collector's edition epic werewolf film Dog Soldiers was coming out.
That's awesome.
June the 24th. Nathan Thomas Milner, who also did Sleepaway Camp, which they released artwork for that just the other day as well. Production on extras have just begun, and they'll have full details to report in mid-April. So I'm sure Sleepy is probably working on something there. Pre-orders, you can go to ScreamFactoryDVD.com, and you can get your 18x24 poster of the artwork if you want. But yeah, collector's edition Blu-ray DVD combo of Dog Soldiers coming on June the 24th. So look forward to that or not.
I'm looking forward to it.
Do you like the movie for real, or are you just fucking...
Oh, no. I was thought you were thinking about Sleepaway Camp.
I'm talking about Dog Soldiers.
I've seen it once or twice, and that was okay. It's nothing... It's just a little different than your standard werewolf movie.
I know. I mean, I saw it one time, like, not long after it came out.
And they've been going on about a sequel for years.
Like, I really don't get it. At all. Like, it's... I'm not going to say... Okay, I might have over-exaggerated. It's probably not horrible. But it's just... There's nothing special about it at all. Like, to me, if I'm... If you want to hear my opinion... And I don't even like werewolf movies that much. An underrated werewolf movie. Find a little movie. And maybe, Steve, you've got it. Called Bad Moon. From 1996.
Yeah.
That's an underrated werewolf movie. I mean, that's something along the line. And I like Silver Bullet as well. Those two are very similar movies, I thought. But no, Dog Soldiers is, if anything's overrated, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely not my, it's something that I would be raving about.
Right. Doesn't have any cheerleaders in it.
Or nuns.
Anything you want to mention on here, Steve, or you want me to continue on? I've got all kinds of shit to...
Well, it looks like it both Ian Ziering and Tara Reid are back for Sharknado 2. They're going to start filming it in February. Yeah.
Maybe they should bring in, like, Jason Priestley or something, too, with it, or Jenny Garth.
Yeah, I think Jenny Garth would be good.
Like Sharknado.
You see what...
Sharknado versus, you know, the 90210 kids today.
I was just looking around. I found that they're going to, Lake Placid is going to get the Scream Factory treatment in a collector's edition Blu-ray later this year. How you feel about that?
I don't know. I mean, it's not a bad movie, Lake Placid. It's... I think I probably like it a little bit better than Dog Soldiers, but again, I don't really care that much.
I haven't even seen it.
Oh, you've never seen it?
Just never got into it. I saw little bits and parts of some of these sequels they had, but never watched the original.
I thought the whole deal with Scream Factory is they were releasing, like,
80s?
Classic, 80s horror movies.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did they run out of them already?
Apparently,
they're going to release like a Blu-ray DVD combo of The Haunting from 98.
That'd be awesome.
That would be. I would love
to see fucking Luke Wilson get his head chopped off or knocked off or something.
I would love to see.
Or not Owen. Yeah. Was it Owen Wilson? Yeah,
they both suck. The CGI in that, though. Like, I remember it being shitty back in, like, 98 or 99 when I saw it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it since, so I can only imagine how shitty it looks now. It's like the Mummy movie, man. I mean, I actually liked that movie when it came out, but holy shit, like, the effects work on that stuff is aged really bad.
Yeah. It's, it's amazing that the Terminator 2 looks so good. You know, effects still look decent.
Yeah, they spent quite a bit of money on that, though. I mean, that was
a whole lot. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that was not like a low budget like horror movie or anything. So, but anyway, we should take a break. And when we come back, we have more horror news to get to that you can use and abuse and all that good stuff. Right.
You can do it. You can use it. And then if you get really into it, you can abuse it.
Yeah. Enjoy.
If your mommy says you can.
Listen till it hurts. Here on DeadPit.com. Howdy folks, it's Creepy Kentuckian here. Have you ever seen those ultraviolet or voodoo codes included with the newest DVD or Blu-ray releases? If you're not using them, I can. You can send them to me via email at wesvance@gmail.com. That's WESVANCE@gmail.com. Or you can just send me a private message on Facebook. If you want to send me an image or type out the code, either one will work and I would greatly appreciate it. With thousands upon thousands of physical copies in my collection, I simply don't have the space to buy movies anymore. So with the help of you guys, I can see the latest releases without having them take up room at Dead Pit headquarters. I will accept any movie and any voodoo credit you have, you can email my way. Once again, that's WESVANCE@gmail.com, WesVance@gmail.com, or on Facebook, private message me. Thanks guys, and enjoy the rest of the show. You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com. Until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe.
Mm-hmm.
The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opposy, he's busy cranking out some of the most high-quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check them out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect.
Welcome back to Dead Pit Radio. I'm B-Plan.
They know who you are, Steve.
Hopefully.
I'm the Creepy Kentuckian, if you will, Bull, if you will.
Poopy.
Riz Ortolani has passed away, Steve. The RZA? Yeah, the esteemed Italian soundtrack composer, Riz Ortolani.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Of the Fazoli Italy Ortolanis has passed away. According to the Italian news reports, Ortolani died in Rome on January the 23rd due to complications with bronchitis.
Wow.
He was 87 years old. While not as esteemed as fellow cinematic scorer Ennio Morricone, Ortolani left a huge mark on the world of cinema and music. Born on March the 25th, 1926 in Pesaro, Italy, as Rizzero Ortolani, Riz was just short, you know, so it'd be easy to pronounce, at least his first name. The composer worked with such directors as Lucio Fulci, Damiano Domini, Ruggero Deodato, Vittorio De Sica, Pupi Avati, that's one of my favorites.
Poopy, yeah.
Yeah, and many others over the course of his long career, venturing into everything from giallo films to spaghetti westerns to exploitation flicks and Mondo cinema.
Mondo cinema.
Among Ortolani's best known works is 1962's Mondo Cane, which the main theme, Moore, won a Grammy. Wow.
Whoa.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I remember that. That's kind of a weird thing for that type. You ever seen that movie?
No.
There's a, Dana got me, there's like two of them, and then there's one about, Africa, which is really, you want to see something racist, that one's fucking, it's called like Adios, Uncle Tom, but anyway, I won't go into that, but, yeah, those things are cool if you want to see something outrageous. But, that, and of course you said he did the music for, Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah,
that's awesome, that beginning theme.
Yeah, it really is. It's like, it kind of starts off on like an acoustic guitar. Also, like his films, Quentin Tarantino has used a lot of his music in some of his films, like Kill Bill and Django Unchained. So... another film that I remember recognizing one of his songs in was Drive from 2011. So yeah, he's had a lot of music and film and stuff like that. And, he definitely lived a long life, but, at the same time, it's still sad to hear about anybody passing away. Isn't that right, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, he lived definitely a big range of years there. Grew up in the 30s and then lived to the 21st century.
Yep. Something else is interesting, though, that we can talk about to liven things up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm getting a little depressed.
I know that Crater is excited about this news. And it's something
about Sting? About the Sting?
We're not going to talk about that. Speaking of which, though, if you want to, you know, have a little, we can talk a little bit about our wrestling venture that we're doing, the WrestleManiacs. That's on the Dead Pit YouTube page.
It is. Make the headlines of the Dead Pit site. That's all up in the right corner.
That's true. We're up there.
Wow.
Got close to 4,000 views on the Royal Rumble recap already from this past. And I think we had close to 100 people live at one time when we were doing the live stream there on YouTube. So,
wow.
I'm wanting to do something this weekend live, probably on Sunday evening. And we'll just keep you updated on that. I don't know what we'll do, but I think it's this thing's starting to catch on a little bit, and
it's getting some legs and getting some steam.
Yeah, we're definitely going to try to do the pay per view recaps every time now. I mean, I think people are really enjoying them, and we just do them for like an hour or something like that, and I think it'll be fun. Maybe we can get some more people on there.
I think you should have a kind of a big thing after Tuesday after the network comes out.
That's true. We should definitely do that. Do like
a critique of what's currently going on with it.
Yeah, like a review, I guess, of the. I was telling you, if anybody's got a Roku out there There's a Blip TV app that has all kinds of like independent wrestling shows on there.
Now are they streaming or do you have to pick them?
No, it's like a Netflix style. You watch them.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's kind of neat.
It is neat. It's free too. They don't have any fucking commercials on there either.
Wow, man. Some of those are so bad. I hadn't watched it in a long time, but they were like showing a commercial every 5 minutes, I think.
I know. Yeah.
It was the same car commercial over and over again. They would show it like 2 times in a row.
I know. Well, some of those channels are still like that. Some of those horror channels and stuff.
Yeah.
So. But anyway, I was going to talk about popcorn, which was finally announced. Nobody told me for sure that Synapse was releasing it, but I kind of figured that Synapse was releasing it. They're bringing the film out on a special edition Blu-ray. The release will be given a brand new 2K restoration, taken directly from vault materials. Supplementary materials from Michael Felcher's Red Shirt Pictures will round out the exciting package, while a lineup of bonus materials have not yet been finished, but will feature a retrospective documentary on the making of and legacy of Popcorn, which I'm fucking dying to see because I mean, I know there's fans of some obscure movies and stuff, but goddamn it, there's no legacy. Popcorn does not have a legacy. Okay, you need to, maybe they just worded it themselves.
Yeah.
But you need to say something. It's a cult film, okay? Popcorn, I mean, it is what it is. I don't think it's a bad movie, but it's not great, you know. But anyway.
Can I tell you my experience with Popcorn?
No.
Okay. I was going to order it for a night, right? So I had a few beers, and then next day, a couple days later, I got something in the mail, and it had these two police officers kind of hugging each other, and I happened to look, and instead of popcorn, I ordered cop porn.
What?
I'm making a joke. I stole a joke from somebody. I heard that's pretty funny, right?
Yeah, which makes sense if you stole it from somebody. So,
I borrowed it.
But anyway, they're projecting a Halloween 2014 release. And you know what, man? I mean, I think it definitely deserves a good release because all the releases, like the UK release that I got, man, that looks like fucking dog shit. I mean, that's horrible. It's a VHS. Yeah. So it definitely deserves a decent release, and I'm glad that Synapse is doing it.
Yeah, Synapse is like, you know, like some people say, the criterion of horror and exploitative movies. So definitely, if you know it's coming from them, it's going to look pretty damn good.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, we can all look forward to that. And I know, Christy Jett is, one of the people behind that documentary, the making of and legacy of Popcorn.
The everlasting legacy.
Yeah.
The immortal legacy of Popcorn.
She loves the fuck out of that movie. So
I know she does. That's what I heard.
Yeah, I saw something where she posted where, like, she was talking to Jerry from Synapse or something, or Dawn, and she was, like, crying over the phone because it was coming out on Blu-ray.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever do that. But
I almost cried when Roadhouse came on Blu-ray.
You know, if I get the call, though, from Paul Ehlers about Mad Men coming out on Blu-ray,
that'd be great.
I may just piss all over myself and cry.
I thought you were going to cry.
I can cry and piss myself. That makes it even more dramatic.
Shit. Yeah, we'll pan down and from your tears to see your urine-stained
the puddle of piff, baby, puddle of piff.
Get your jorks on.
So, the other, there's not a whole lot of other news on here. The Conjuring 2.
Yep.
Which is, they're doing The Conjuring 2 and they're doing the Annabelle movie, right? Those are two separate movies.
Yeah.
Vera Farmiga, who's also in Bates Motel, has been speaking with a whole array, of her, speaking about a whole array of her recent and upcoming projects, she said about the sequel, "I'm hoping to see Conjuring 2 sooner than later. There's so many more stories to tell, and obviously it was a vital thing for New Line. And it seems implausible to not go for number 2 and even number 3. I mean, she's wanting to get some work, Bulls. Said, but I don't see anything concrete just yet. I think it's being figured out right now because, of course, we'd love to have James Wan at the helm, and he's experienced a certain measure of stress recently." Well, that's true. I don't think they should do a Conjuring sequel. I like the idea of doing the Annabelle movie and having that be it.
Oh, I unfortunately want to see a Conjuring 2 movie. I want to see all kinds of, a series of movies about the Warrens.
I don't know, though, man. I think after Insidious 2, that kind of...
That didn't help anything, because you think that you're going to get something on the level of that, then you don't. And it does mess up the legacy of that, of the Conjuring, because you got one, you got like a diamond, and then you get a freaking turd.
It really was. I mean, that.
I mean,
that was the worst. I think that was the worst movie James Wan's ever done, like that I've seen at least.
Yeah, it just didn't seem inspired.
No, it just seemed like something.
And I didn't find one bit of that movie was scary as compared to the first one. I was screaming like a damn little girl, Conjuring and Insidious. And when I watched that movie, it was just like, you know, nothing. Just dead silence, just watching it.
Dead Silence was another one of his films, though.
Yeah, I know. Oddly enough. No, I didn't. I just said that. I don't know.
Dead Silence is awesome, too, by the way. I think
it's better than Insidious 2.
Highly underrated film. Dead Silence and Death Sentence, both. I enjoy both those films.
Anything in death when it, you know, anything.
But anyway, something else, though, I guess non-horror related that we can talk about here, Steve.
CM Punk?
We could talk about CM Punk, too, if you want to. Do you think that's legit?
I don't know, and it's everybody's saying it is, so I don't know.
Well, Crater thinks he knows something that other people don't. He thinks it's fucking.
Well, he reads SES Scoops, so he knows what's going on for real.
Right. What people need to realize, there's really only one real journalist in wrestling.
That's Dave, the Observer Meltzer.
Yeah, everybody else fucking copies his shit. Like, everybody does. All these other websites have the fucking subscription to the Observer. Whenever it fucking comes out, oh, God, here's a news talk. Nobody else. I'm sorry. I don't want, you know. So, all these other sites can go shit and fall back in it.
Woo!
Go on the Observer. That's your fucking source. That guy's been doing it longer than anybody. He's got inside, you know, people in WWE, so... If he ain't reporting it, don't fucking talk. Don't even fucking mention it.
Yeah. Sucker.
That's your boy, Christopher. But anyway. Royal Rumble sucked, by the way.
Yeah.
I usually love the Royal Rumble regardless, but goddamn.
Yeah, well, you know who booked that, right? Who the agent was?
Triple H.
Nope. Jamie Noble.
Yeah, but he's not. He's just going to book the match itself. He don't make the decisions.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, I think that even though he's probably going to get, he's probably got some heat.
Well, the thing is, they should have done something on TV that said you were banned from the Royal Rumble or something. Yeah, you know, they shouldn't have not said a fucking thing. Because everybody was thinking, and it's true too, man. I mean, they never, like that time they brought Jericho back for the Rumble. Nobody, who thought he was going to fucking win it?
Right.
You know? Well, I mean, I didn't really, honestly, I didn't think Batista was going to win the fucking Rumble.
I kind of unfortunately thought for some reason that, yeah, he would.
But anyway, bad booking decisions on that show, that crowd, holy shit.
Oh, I loved it. It was great.
They took
We Want Divas. Over. That was the awesome chant right there, man.
Yeah, and they had like a This Is Awful chant. I started fucking cracking up because I'd never heard that before.
Well, I never heard anybody say We Want Divas.
Yeah. Anyway, what I was going to talk about is another, I guess, nerd topic that I'm just rolling my fucking eyes at, man.
Google Glass?
No.
Oh.
This is still in the realm of movies and stuff like that.
Oh.
All the pictures surfacing from the new Michael Bay Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
I thought they looked pretty good.
I got to be honest, I didn't think it looked that bad either. Like, I don't know what in the
Who's going ape shit, Mr. Prather?
I don't know if he is or not. There's a lot of people talking about how they think they look shitty.
What?
Man, Shredder looks fucking unreal. Like, did you see the photos of Shredder?
I did, but I couldn't make them out because they look kind of blurry something.
You must not saw the ones that I saw.
And to be honest with you, I don't have no plans to see this movie anyway.
I'll see it when it comes out on DVD or something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Maybe, but I mean, I went and seen all freaking three of them in the theater, so I feel ashamed to say that, but I'm not going to go to the theater and see a Ninja Turtle movie.
No, me either, but I'm just saying, God damn it. I mean, this is a live-action Ninja Turtles movie, and the turtles look fucking almost like the one. I mean, they look like updated versions of the ones from like the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah.
What? I think people just like to bitch. Like, I don't get that shit at all.
What if they're fucking all CG? You know what I'm saying?
They're not CG, though.
I know, but what if they were CG turtles? I think people would be a lot more upset. I mean, they would have more reason to be upset. These are fucking practical effects. They look decent to me.
Yeah, and, like, remember the CGI turtle movie that they had? That Shredder wasn't even in that fucking movie. And I don't remember people bitching about that.
Yeah. Shredder.
I don't get that, man. I mean,
I don't either.
I'm not. I like the 80s and 90s Ninja Turtles movies. At least the first two. But.
Secret of Ooze?
Yeah, Secret of Ooze. It's got fucking Ernie Reyes Jr. in it, motherfucker.
It's got fucking Kevin Nash.
It's got fucking
Shredder.
Vanilla Ice in it.
I know. Go, Ninja. Go, Ninja. Go.
Go. Go. Go.
You didn't like the third one?
I never really watched the third one.
They go back in time and...
Yeah, Turtles in Time.
Yeah, fight samurais and shit. I like that one.
That was like an uber low budget one, though, wasn't it?
I mean, I don't know. It's like, they had damn turtles in it. I guess that was about the only kind of special characters they had in it.
It was a Ninja Turtles movie, motherfucker.
Had
to have the turtles in it.
Turtles in Time.
But, honestly, I think, just me personally, and I don't like Michael Bay. I think his movies kind of suck. But for that type of movie, that's perfect. He's the perfect fucking guy for Ninja Turtles. Just like he's a perfect guy for Transformers.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
That's his shit, though. That goofy action shit.
Loud.
Yeah. Goofy, popcorn, just stupid movies, you know. And who wants a serious Ninja Turtles movie? Really?
A dark. Dark Ninja Turtle movie.
Who wants that, though? Your audience is kids and nerds. The nerds are coming to the fucking movie anyway. The fucking, you know, Ninja Turtle fans that are in their 30s or 40s, the original ones, they're still fucking going to come regardless of what the fuck it looks like. The same people bitching and complaining about, God damn it, look how shitty the fucking nerds look, or the turtles. They're going to be there the fucking first night. They're going to watch that movie. And hell, they may bitch it. They may do a video or something. They may bitch about it on Facebook. That movie's going to make a shit ton of money.
Hell yeah. That I'm going to get my McDonald's cup.
I guarantee
you. With Donatello.
You, that move, those movies will make more than those Transformer movies. I guarantee it.
I guarantee.
Yeah, I put my seal of fucking approval on that shit. And as shitty as a filmmaker as Michael Bay is, that's perfect for him. Those Ninja Turtles, like that type of movie, it's awesome for him. And I think that he should do the G.I. Joe movies. I think that he'd probably make better G.I. Joe movies.
What?
Stupid action movies, that's his shit.
Right.
So, I don't know if you want to elaborate any more on that, but Megan Fox is in the
Ninja
Turtles movie.
Yum, yum.
Get me some.
Sunny D and Rome.
So, anyway, that is it for the news.
It is.
Steve, we're going to take another break. When we come back, you've got a list.
I got a list.
Yeah.
I don't really have a list, but I'll make some up.
Well, you're going to come up with one because it was your idea. This is Steve's idea. If this sucks, blame Steve.
Yeah.
So.
Boop.
We'll be back here on DeadPitch.
.edu.
.com, motherfucker.
For some people, a simple warning is never enough. By the time Alma heard it, it was too late. Something's out there in the woods, and it's killing people. Joni never thought it could happen to her. Ingrid and Peter couldn't believe it happened to them. Something's out there, waiting. Something a little bit wild and crazy. For some people, a simple warning is never enough. It's your decision. If you want it chopped off, just take it to the woods. Remember, the call of the wild is the last thing on earth you want to hear. Don't go in the woods. It's coming soon. For some people, a simple warning is never enough.
To Dead Pit Radio, I am the Creepy Kentuckian.
And I am the B-Plan.
Huh?
I am God.
I am Zombie.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Rounding out the show this week, Steve.
Right.
Since we are in the fucking dead of winter, it's cold as shit.
Right.
Here in eastern and central Kentucky.
Yeah, I've been freezing my freaking balls off last week, 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, in Dead Pit Studio B there in Louisville. And here in Studio A in downtown Prestonsburg, Kentucky, it's cold.
Right on Main Street of Prestonsburg.
Right on Main Street.
We're
going to be talking about some of our favorite, or least
favorite. You're my favorite.
Winter horror films.
Yeah, that's true.
Films that are shot or set around the dead of winter.
Right. Films
that are fun to watch this time of year. And there's a few.
There is.
So do you want to go ahead and get started, Steve? Maybe I can mention a couple. I'll help you out a little bit. You know.
Well, I mean, the top two really is The Shining and The Thing. I think those are going to be your biggest movies, you know, with winter themes to it. We were talking a little bit about the Norwegian Cold Prey movies. There's a trilogy of them, but the first two are more of they're both slasher movies. And I really enjoy them.
I actually have not seen those movies. I would be up for watching them, though, if somebody wants to send me copies.
And then, basically they go out for how most horror movies, they go out in the snow, going to go skiing and stuff, and somebody hurts their leg, and they're too far away for go back, so they find this abandoned hotel in the middle of the snow.
Right.
So they go there and stay, and then we have a killer that kind of been living around there, and he starts picking them off. Hmm. The part two is really good because it kind of plays homage to Halloween 2. It takes pretty much all place in a hospital. So
I'm definitely looking forward to I've heard all kinds of people mention those movies.
The third one is a prequel, and I couldn't make it through it, so I may have to try to watch it again at some point.
You just recommend the first two.
First two, I can vouch, are very good. So
one that I thought of, though,
mm-hmm.
since we can, I got a pretty decent sized list on here. I could talk about this one for a little bit because I just watched it a couple years ago. Oddly enough, is an Adam Green film, and it's by far the best fucking Adam Green movie ever, and that is Frozen from 2010.
Yeah.
I would have never thought in a million years, if I watched this movie without any credits or anything, that Adam Green made the movie because it's so well directed. The whole story is a group of friends get stranded up on a ski lift. Like they're like 100 or 50 or 100 feet in the air. And the ski lift, they forget about them on the the ski lift and just turn it off. And they are stuck in the air, you know, with blizzard, snowy conditions and stuff all around them. And, you know, wolves and shit get after them. And it's just crazy. It's an awesome fucking movie, though. Like, I'm sure you've seen it as well, right?
No.
You've never seen that?
No, I have to catch. I don't know. I mean, basically, you just told me the whole movie. I don't know if I really did see it. I mean, people
I didn't
have
give
heard
anything
about the story.
Away. If you read the fucking synopsis, it's going to tell you that's what it is.
Yeah. So, for some reason, just don't find that appealing to watch.
You'll enjoy it, Steve.
Maybe I'll give it a shot.
Dana probably has a fucking copy of it. I bet.
Probably not. I'm probably on Netflix, ain't it?
I can't remember if it's on Netflix or not, but it. I'm not kidding. Like, people say we're haters of Adam Green. I don't really like the guy, but he did a great job with this movie, and I'll give him credit. I mean, it's by far the best movie that guy's ever done. It's got the whole movie, too, is outside in the snow and, frigid temperatures. So,
yeah.
Perfect for this time of year.
Well, another one, is a big movie for horror fans is Silent Night, Deadly Night.
That's true.
Not much the sequel. I don't think there was too much snow in the sequel when he got out for garbage day, but wow. But everywhere else. That was a good one. And Dead Snow. Did you ever get a chance to watch Dead Snow?
I did watch Dead Snow, but I didn't really care for that one that much.
I've got to say I'm not really. It was okay, but nothing. I know there's a sequel coming out here pretty soon.
Right.
So we'll have to see if that's any better.
You mentioned
the Jack Frost movies, Jack Frost 1 and 2.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah.
you mentioned, though, the two big ones. I guess we could talk about them a little bit because there are a couple more. The first one I always think of is The Shining.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favorite horror movies, too. I mean, I haven't seen it in a while, but it's a great, just slow, just creepy movie, you know, where I honestly think that hotel is the star of the movie. Like it's so creepy, just the atmosphere that he creates with The Shining. In my opinion, I haven't seen all of Stanley Kubrick's movies, but I think that this is his best movie.
Well, that's Yeah, I guess it would have to be my favorite of his.
That I have seen, at least. I haven't seen all of them, so I don't want to say.
Now, have you watched the documentary, Room 237?
I haven't because I was going to watch it, but people really shit all over that movie.
Oh, God, you got to watch it, dude, because it's like freaking... I mean, the theories these people come up with are just... some of them are really just completely stupid. And you try to wonder, how do they know that if you play the movie forwards and backwards, shit lines up? Who would ever fucking thought about doing that?
I don't know.
I think it's awesome. I mean, I would say it's not... I don't know if I would call it a documentary. It's more speculative cinema.
Right.
But it's definitely, if you're a fan of the movie, you just want to watch it once to see all these people with their crazy theories. Because they're saying that Kubrick's giving away that he helped fake the moon landings and all kinds of other crazy nonsense.
Yeah. I was going to watch it, but like I posted, I was like, what do you guys think of, Room 237? Everybody shit on it.
Well, I liked it, and I know we just watched it, I mean, because it was just one theory after another was coming up, and it's like, holy crap, I can't believe they're thinking that, he did this, he meant this by this, so it's just really, just weird, especially they're going over about the carpet patterns and everything, so it's kind of almost like a really... Somebody's watched this movie way too much to come up with these theories.
I am curious, though, like, about stuff like that. Like, was the hotel, or did they do anything to that hotel, or was that just the way the hotel looked at the time? Like the carpet and the paint on the walls, just to how, I don't know. To me, that hotel was creepy as fuck.
I don't know. It looked like they got... just speaking of something that popped in my mind, they were selling shower curtains with that pattern on it on eBay. That would be
awesome. Yeah. I wonder if anybody, still has some of that carpet from that. When they really took it up from the hotel, I bet they'd be worth a fucking fortune.
Yeah, if you get to, yeah.
Yeah, you can sell that shit on eBay.
Well, maybe we can...
sell it to Fright Rags when they have, a limited fucking t-shirt, and they can put it in, a little thing and charge, $80 for it.
Maybe you can get some rocks.
A carpet would be too good. They would have to have dirt or rocks.
Or some of that hedge maze.
Which I'm going to sell into the pit dirt. Or mud.
Still got some of my hair left, so maybe I'll sell that, some of my real hair in jars.
Oh, really? That's got to be
old, then. I don't, but I'll sell some of my pubic hair, maybe.
Oh, Lord. So the other big one,
yeah,
which we actually watched about a year ago at the Strand Twin, RIP, John Carpenter's The Thing,
right,
1982. It's
that's one I haven't watched yet, so maybe coming up because we're supposed to get another couple inches of snow, possibly in a week or so. That's one. I remember watching it one time.
That Blu-ray looks fucking awesome, too, by the way.
Yeah. Well, the HDVD looked pretty good, too.
Yeah.
But I remember watching it one time in an ice storm a couple years ago, and my freaking power went out. That was the last time I had power for, a week.
Yeah.
Sucky-ducky.
When it comes to just snowy, I don't know, atmosphere, just, the thing is definitely it, too. I mean, holy shit.
It's where it's at.
The whole movie.
Yeah. Windows.
Mac.
What's
her name? Adrienne Barbeau is in that movie, briefly.
Oh, she's the voice, right?
Yeah.
Chess or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I know.
On to more, semi-obscure. What's some other obscure ones for you, Steve, people might not think about?
There's Dead of Winter that I watched. It's from 87 with Mary Steenburgen and Rodney McDowell.
Now, refresh my memory there because I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it either. It was on one of these channels like MGM HD. I think it's about, let me look it up, but it's about an actress going to kind of audition for a role or something. Of course, that brings to mind another one. Yeah, an actress lured to a mansion in a remote country side, do a screen test, and discover she's kind of a prisoner in a blackmail plot.
Really?
Yeah. So it's pretty decent. And of course that kind of scenario kind of brings to mind another one that I just now thought of would be Curtains. Curtains takes place in wintertime, or at least
Synapse, you know, is also releasing Curtains.
That's right. So I heard that they said that the colors are really amazing on it. So we've only seen it in the kind of drab VHS transfer. So it'd be really interesting to see a movie like that that's got so many vibrant colors after so long. So I'm really looking forward to that one. But, so I would definitely say that, Dead of Winter, you could check it out. Maybe look on MGM, HD, and they were showing it on top of a, rotation.
You know, another one that I want to revisit here soon is amazing Swedish vampire movie, Steve.
Yes.
And I'm not a big fan of Swedish vampire movies, but this one kicks fucking ass.
Let the wrong one in.
That's right. Let the right one in.
Oh, the right one. I don't know. What about its remake? Did you ever see the remake?
Yeah, but fuck.
I've never seen the remake. I've only seen the original.
The remake's not horrible, but it just lacks all of the soul that the original one had. Just let the right one in, set in the 80s, and you would think it was filmed in the fucking 80s. It's so well done. The director is, I can't pronounce the guy's name. What was the director's name? Pasquale.
Yeah.
Laugier, I think.
Or that maybe sounds good.
Somebody else. I don't know if that's him or not. It's one of these foreign guys.
It's Frenchie. What's his name? Frenchie something?
I could probably look it up. But the performances and stuff from the kids in this one kick the shit out of the remake. I mean, it just does. Like,
right.
You know, the whole story is these two kids, and one of them is actually a vampire. And the other kid is, like, bullied. You know,
right.
And she's kind of looking out for, him, and they develop a friendship. There's not really, I mean, there's some horror in it, but I don't know if I'd call it a straight up horror movie either. I mean, it's Thomas Alfredson.
Yeah.
I don't know where the fuck I got Pascal Laugier. I think he directed something else.
Pascal Laugier.
If you have not seen this movie, though, you've got to see it. It's a beautiful. I just love the way the movie's shot. I like the fact that it's shot. It's supposed to be in the 80s or whatever. Just a great movie, and of course, it's set in Sweden in the wintertime, which most of the time Sweden is winter.
Yeah,
like fucking snow all the time in Sweden. So
yeah,
but yeah, I mean,
snow in Sweden.
The movie won all kinds of awards and stuff too when it came out. And everybody was talking about this movie. I guess it came out in 2008. I actually have it on Blu-ray, so I'm gonna watch it again here soon. So great, great movie though. Highly recommend that one.
Well, another one that Misery takes place in.
I love that movie too.
So, and that actually, of course, the reason for the whole thing is because of winter, the car wreck that James Caan gets into.
That's true. This is the movie that pretty much
gave
Kathy Bates her career.
Yeah, now she's getting her head cut off in American Horror Story.
Yeah, I don't know how much of a career she's really had, but she did a great job in this movie. I mean, I totally believed her as a crazy bitch.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, you know, Stephen King, which this is a novel, you know, originally that he did, it's kind of a takeoff on some of the experiences, probably not as bad as this,
yeah,
that he's had with some of his crazy fans. So, yeah, the whole story, of course, the rider is, has a car wreck, and, one of his fans, which happens to be a crazy ass, you know, Kathy Bates, rescues him and nurses him back to health, and, you know, just chaos ensues. So, hello. Steve?
Steve?
What the fuck are you doing, buddy?
Hobbing ensues. That's what they call them, hobbing.
Right. That, this movie actually does have the, which I can't watch it. I always just fucking cover my eyes, where she takes the sledgehammer to his ankle.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I can't watch that. That's just gross. Few things gross me out, but seeing something like, you know, when Sid broke his leg and shit, like that made me sick. Like, I can't watch shit like that. Broken bones and stuff. I don't like that, Steve.
What about that chick? I forgot what she was doing, but she kind of broke her. Oh, you need to watch that Glow documentary on Netflix.
No.
No?
I ain't watching that.
Why?
Because I don't want to see nobody break their leg.
No, she didn't break her leg. She kind of, she really fucked up her arm. Her, like her, it's like her arm and at the elbow kind of just snapped.
Oh.
And, oh, it was rough looking. That's the, you know, yeah, I've seen the Sid thing, but I guess it makes it a little bit better when I know it's not real.
I'll tell you another one that's fucking, I don't know how I end up seeing this shit, but I see it all live. Was when that, that Ware guy from Louisville, the basketball player, Kevin Ware, broke his fucking leg.
Yeah.
I saw that shit live. Like, I saw it on TV when it happened. That was fucking
gross as shit. That's why I don't watch basketball.
That was worse. That was a worse leg break than the Sid one, because Sid, when he broke his leg like that, he had the boot where you couldn't really see it. Okay.
Yeah.
You could see that Ware kid's bone sticking out of his leg, like 2 inches.
Unbelievable.
Fucking nasty. So.
Absolutely.
Any other ones you can think of, Stephen Lee? B.
That was saying something like Ginger Snap's back takes place in.
I've never fucking seen that movie.
You never seen that one?
I've seen the first. I love the first one, but the sequels don't. They just don't sound like much to me. They don't sound like something I'd like.
Well, the sequel is really just the sister kind of in a remote area. Kind of like in a alternative school, and there's another werewolf out there, and the third one's just basically almost like a prequel that's got both of the girls living in Wild Wild West times and
living
in Canada. So
another one though, I was just thinking of that's perfect for this time of year, 30 Days of Night.
Yeah, that was one I was kind of, I had in my mind, but I just, yeah. I'm not a big fan of that movie. I've only seen it like once or twice.
I liked it. I mean, I only saw it once, but I liked it the one time I saw it. I think it's got a good atmosphere.
Yeah, I like it. I think if you haven't seen it or, you know, I can't blame anybody for liking it, but I just, for some reason, I'm just not, I can't get into it all the way.
That'd be a good one to watch, though. I mean, you know, this time of year for sure.
Well, speaking of Ginger Snaps, I think, isn't it Synapse is putting that out?
No, I think it's Scream Factory.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Scream Factory's putting that out.
Yeah.
So
what the fuck isn't Scream Factory putting out? Except for Mad Men. That's one thing they're putting out, goddammit.
That's what nobody's putting that out.
Yeah. They're going to fucking, I don't know, get all the Children of the Corns, a fucking collector's edition or something before they put Mad Men out.
I've got 6 of the Children of Corn movies.
On Blu-ray?
On DVD.
I have all the Children of the Corn movies on DVD. I kind of collect them. Hey, there's a new Amityville movie out, too. Did you see that at Walmart?
Amityville Haunting?
Amityville Asylum, I think is what it's called.
Oh.
I don't know what it is, but.
Well, the Amityville Haunting was like a found footage film.
I know, but this is actual movie, though.
No, I haven't seen that.
I don't know anything about it, but I saw it at Walmart for like $10.
Oh, did you watch the Bates Hotel?
No, I never did get that. I asked for it, but.
Oh, I've got it. I've watched like 5 seconds of it.
Probably shitty.
I didn't know exactly what it's about yet.
Oh, I see.
Didn't get down to the nitty gritty titty.
I was hoping they would send me the DVD of it, just because I kind of collect anything like Bates Motel or, you know, Psycho, like movie wise. I've got all that shit.
That's cool, dude.
So anyway, any other movies on the list there that you can think of? I mean, you mentioned the shitty Jack Frost movies, but come on.
Well, I mean, speaking of this one, that Silent Night, the remake of Silent Night, Deadly Night, that's a pretty...
I kind of like that movie.
I did, too. I mean, I haven't watched it again, but, I mean, I did think it was better than some of the crap that we've come out with.
I think a lot of times some of these studios should really, you know, give some of these movies a chance in the theater. They may be surprised.
Another one, I don't know if you watched Rare Exports yet?
I never did get the chance, unfortunately. I have to wait until next Christmas.
But, yeah, that's a real strange, strange movie. But it's, you know, I liked it. Black Christmas, of course. Even the remake has a little bit more snow and ice in it. I kind of like the remake, or I view them as two separate movies. You know, not really a remake, even though, you know, it's just a completely different movie.
That's true.
So it's like a shitty slasher.
I'm trying to think of some more here. Oh, here's one. Of course, I haven't seen this movie in years. It's another Stephen King adaptation, The Dead Zone.
Yeah.
That would be one. That's set in the wintertime.
And also, I mean, I saw them list at Dreamcatcher, which not a lot of people talk about. I didn't think it was...
Up to a point.
Yeah. I mean, it got a little goofy, but I don't mind goofiness. I mean, of course, it's not like a top tier.
No. But I mean, Stephen King movie. The first like 30 minutes of it, though, I'm like, holy shit, this is fucking amazing. Because it reminded me a lot of like It, Stephen King's It.
Right.
But then it fucking, the last hour of it's not too good. Oh, I don't know how we forgot about this one, Steve. Troll Hunter.
Yeah. Troll Hunter was a...
God damn it, I love that movie.
It's a good movie. It's, they make a lot of really good horror movies and stuff like this. I mean, the special effects were pretty damn impressive for...
Hell yeah, they were.
For, you know, especially for making these big creatures.
What I liked about that one is, too, is it was kind of goofy.
Yeah.
As well. Like, it had some... Because... It wasn't like they were trying to take themselves seriously with this. They kind of knew, okay, yeah, it's a big fucking troll, you know. But I just loved, I thought that movie was awesome. Anybody that hadn't seen Troll Hunter, check it out.
Yep, check it out. Of course, there's some, like, I mean, if you grew up in the 80s, early 80s, you remember they used to show a lot of TV movies during the day and stuff, and there was one called Snow Beast. I think it was a TV movie, but they used to show it on the 4 o'clock movie all the time. And that was, you know, about Bigfoot and stuff like that. So I liked that a lot. Of course, you got like the Improbable Snowman from Hammer.
You know, another one that I don't know if you put it horror or not, kind of more along the lines of like a real life horror. The amazing visual film, The Gray.
Yeah, people kind of get off on that movie because of the ending. I think the ending, that's just, you know, it doesn't matter if he lives or dies to me.
Yeah, it's more realistic.
He's gonna go out fighting no matter if he dies or if he lives.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good to leave a kind of open ending to a movie like that, where you don't know what's gonna happen.
I mean, that's kind of like real. If shit happened, that would be the shit that would really happen. People wouldn't get out the fucking wolves would get your dumb ass.
That's true.
And I like the way that Liam Neeson's character is like, this dude's, then after the airplane crash, he's good, you're gonna die.
You know, another one that I was really, surprised by, and we reviewed this years ago on the show, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. I think it was a Ghost House Underground movie. It's
the
like
Children?
A British movie. Yeah, The Children. I just saw that one too. Cause that one's set, I think it's set on the Christmas, like, vacation or Christmas holiday or something like that.
Right.
And it's kind of a killer kid movie where these kids start to, you know, kill off their parents and shit.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I didn't really, it was okay, but it wasn't something I want to revisit. Of course, I like any time when adults kill kids.
Yeah, that's true. That don't happen too much. Another one. Have you got some more? I'm just thinking of these. These are fucking coming in my head.
Well, I got two. Was it Larry Fizenton movies that are, okay. I'm not going to, one's better than the other. Wendigo.
Right.
About a family that goes to a small town. They hit a deer and then they start seeing, you know, dark things start happening and wonder, and then they kind of think that maybe they didn't hit a deer. They hit a Wendigo.
And the other one's Last Winter, right?
Yeah. And that sucks.
You didn't like The Last Winter?
No, I didn't like that at all.
I thought that one. I thought that.
Part of me doesn't really like Wendigo either because of the ending. I just don't like. I
honestly,
mean, just,
I hadn't seen Wendigo in a while, but I thought that he kind of borrowed a lot of the visuals and stuff from that movie.
Yeah.
The Last Winter and kind of updated it and had a bigger budget and shit.
I just don't know. I just didn't like it. I didn't like Last Winter and I got rid of that quickly.
Here's your one, though, Steve. This one, probably, you probably didn't think anything of this one.
Gremlins.
The Good Son.
Oh, no. Didn't think of The Good Son.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen it.
Macaulay Culkin's a fucking evil little bastard in it.
I mean, it's, I tell you, after growing up, seeing him in all these kiddie movies, and when he lets him drop and he gets killed, I was just like, man, that's just like a stress release to see that little bastard die.
I like that movie though, man. Like I you haven't seen it in a while, but I remember it, man. I mean, I enjoyed it. It probably wasn't a good decision, for him to make at the time, but it seemed like all the movies he was in after, Home Alone, they wanted to kill him in it. They did kill him in it.
He died and.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's funny. But yeah, I don't know if it was a good idea or not.
Probably. Well, just seeing how his career panned out, probably not.
Well, Richie Rich wasn't a good idea either.
Now, that's one movie, honest to God, I have never even seen that on anything.
No.
Like that's almost like banned everywhere. Like, it's never been on Netflix that I know of. I've never seen it on TV anywhere. I wonder if it's even on DVD. I don't know. Maybe it is. Everything's on DVD.
Everything.
So
what about another movie that's coming out from Scream Factory, Ravenous?
I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I remember not really being, I don't know, I didn't think it was that great.
I didn't either. I thought it kind of built up at the end. It was kind of more at the end of the, I'd never seen it before, but I heard some people talking about it, and I said, well, I haven't seen it, so hell, I'll check it out. It was better than I thought it was going to be, but it wasn't something that blew me out of my seat.
Right.
But, you know, it's pretty cool.
Any other, I'm running dry finally.
No, I think we've pretty much covered. I mean, like we say, the big ones.
There's a lot of other ones, like, but, I mean, I'm not familiar with a lot of those. Like, there's another one that I tried to watch. I don't know if you've seen it that I was thinking of, but it's not very good. Storm of the Century.
I actually watched that when it was on. You know, it was a miniseries. But, yeah, it didn't. It wasn't one of the better Stephen King miniseries.
Yeah. But there's all kinds of winter horror or thriller movies out there that you guys can check out. And I'm going to try to get Cold Prey, boys. I want to go pick
yeah,
King
at least check out the
it.
First one. And if you like that one, the second one is, I would say, close to the quality of the first one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's unfortunately it's not going to get any significantly warmer. It's probably going to have a couple more soft spell or cold spells, so we're going to have to keep it warm and watch horror movies.
At least another month, I would say, of this. At least in Eastern Kentucky, it's had. It's usually not until March are you expecting it to get halfway warm on a regular basis. But anyway, that being said, I believe that's the show, Steve. That's our show this week.
That's the wrap.
That's it. So I hope everybody enjoyed it. We actually do have, or we're going to have, by the time you listen to this, a new episode of Two Against. So you want to talk about what you guys do on that show so you can plug it there. Steve, getting you a free plug.
A plug.
This one's for free, but you have to pay for the next one.
Oh. We watched a few movies. One that we kind of built the show around, I think, was a movie called Rape from like 1978, I believe. It's quite a film, so I don't want to get into too much of it. So it's really funny.
Killer. A movie called Rape.
It's like A Man Called Sting.
What could be wrong with that?
I know, man.
So that is it for this week. Next week, who knows what we'll do. I want to take phone calls again, though. I want to do it right. So we need to pick a time where you can take phone calls a little longer, Steve. Maybe talk to Dana about the schedule, and we'll pick us the next possible time, you know, where she might have a day off or something like that. We'll do call-ins.
All right.
So we can do them right. Because a lot of people tried to call in a couple weeks ago that didn't get through, and I heard a lot of complaints. So.
Uh-oh.
Also, I want to definitely tell everybody to check out the WrestleManiacs on Facebook. You can check out the link on deadpit.com. And we have we're doing some of the live wrestling videos and stuff on YouTube and getting great response. So, like I said, we got like close to 4,000 views already on that Royal Rumble recap. So we'll probably continue, you know, just see how much we can grow with that.
I mean, who knows? We could end up on the,
we could end up on Monday Night Raw.
On the WWE Network.
That's right. They could have our show on there, WrestleManiacs.
Yeah.
So anyway, until next time, I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
I'm the B-Plan.
And you've been listening to the number one rated, often imitated, never duplicated ballers and shock callers of Horror Talk Radio since 2005, okay? We've been around for a while. Even though the other guy that used to do the show with me, he kind of sits back and doesn't do jack shit anymore, but that's fine.
He just takes credit for everything.
Yeah. He shows up at conventions and acts like he's sort of a big deal.
Hey, you remember me? I used to be Uncle Bill.
You know the name I made up for him, though?
What?
Little Big Deal.
Little Big Deal.
Yeah, he's a Little Big Deal Uncle Bill. So, we are DeadPits.com.